What is a philosopher? Someone who thinks but does not act. What is an obsessive compulsive? Someone who obsesses instead of doing. In other words, someone who thinks but does not act. So the philosopher is an obsessive compulsive, and the obsessive compulsive is a philosopher.
But the obsessive compulsive does act. Indeed, he acts compulsively.
No. Compulsions are externalized obsessions. They are obsessions that have assumed behavioral form. Compulsive actions are not actual actions. They are pseudo-actions that represent the encroachment of the obsessive-compulsive's thought world onto the real world. Real action engages the world. Compulsive action attempts to replace the real world with the obsessive-compulsive's thought world. Compulsive action, therefore, doesn't engage the world. It is the avoidance of such engagement, and is therefore the antithesis of bona fide action.
Now I see. Plato said that ideas are more real than realities, that chairs and rocks and people are mere copies of ideas, but it is really the other way around.
Quite. Concrete things are real. Ideas are mere copies of realities, and Plato was deliberately turning the truth on its head.
He was doing so self-servingly. He was at home in a make-believe world of thought, not in the rough-and-tumble world of concrete realities.
Of real realities?
Yes, of real realities. So instead of stating the truth, that he was a coward who hid in his autistic safe space of unreality, he told a lie, that he was rising above the shabby pseudo-reality of concrete things and beholding a glimmering hyper-reality.
Exactly. And the obsessive-compulsive justifies his retreat from the unsafety of reality into the safety of thought by having contempt for reality.
Which contempt is often justified.
Yes, but in that context, at least, those justifications are serving as rationalizations.
As excuses.
Right. As excuses to retreat into the sterility of thought.
I see.
And skepticism...
You mean the view that we can't know anything about the external world?
Yes. Skepticism is just a pathetic attempt to stay in the safety of thought by claiming, incoherently and illogically, that we have no good reason to believe that there's an external world that our mental states accurately reflect.
Which absurdity collapses, for all intents and purposes, into the denial of the very existence of the external world.
Exactly.
So skepticism is just intellectualized autism.
Well put.
If an autistic person could intellectualize a situation, he would be a skeptic.
Right.
But what about empiricist philosophers, such as George Berkeley and David Hume? Aren't they attempting to re-engage the world, to break out of the autistic prison of philosophical skepticism?
They are attempting to break out of the autistic prison of Platonic hyper-rationalism, and they are attempting to do this by taking as their starting point a seemingly reality-oriented belief that all knowledge is based on the senses.
And what's wrong with that?
They go too far. By claiming that all knowledge is sense-based, they ipso facto deprive themselves of the ability to legitimately infer that there exists a reality beyond our sense perceptions.
I see.
Which is why David Hume's empiricism collapses into skepticism.
And which is why George Berkeley's empiricism collapses into idealism, this being the view that reality is identical with our perceptions of it.
In other words, the idea is real. Indeed, it is all there is.
And the reality on the other side of the idea is a mere shadow.
Right. So Berkeley's empiricism, which is supposed to be antithetical to Plato's rationalism, ends up collapsing into a version of Platonic rationalism.
Platonic rationalism being the falsehood that the idea is real, and that the thing of which the idea is an idea is a mere shadow.
When the truth is the exact opposite.
I see.
And there is one very important casualty of philosophy that we have left out.
And what is that?
David Hume's denial of the existence of forces.
You are referring to Hume's belief, which he claims to be a corollary of empiricism, that forces do not exist, and, therefore, that reality consists of so many renegade events that do not stand in relations of causal dependence with respect to one another.
That is what I am referring to.
Which is, in fact, not warranted by empiricism, given that experience is replete with perceptions of forces.
And which is also contraindicated on purely logical grounds.
Explain.
The very concepts of persistence and of occupancy are causal notions. For a given thing to occupy a place is for it to displace or tend to displace would-be occupants of that space.
And to persist is for one's early states to be causally dispositive of one's later states.
Indeed, the very concept of one's states, that is, of a persistent being to whom non-simultaneous states can be attributed,
is a causal notion.
Is a causal notion.
So Hume's empiricism isn't very empirical at all.
Nor is it very logical.
And the effect of Hume's denial of force
is to limit the human condition to perceiving and thinking,
as opposed to doing,
which is a causal notion.
Right.
To do is to cause.
So Hume's empiricism,
his peculiar and perverse,
and
distinctively philosophical form of empiricism,
turns man into a mere thinker as opposed to a doer, into an impotent autistic who can obsess but cannot otherwise do.
Quite.
So Hume's empiricism is so configured as to prevalidate the view that human beings live in self-contained bubbles of thought that cannot engage any outer reality.
Which confirms my thesis.
That the philosopher is an obsessive compulsive, an autistic obsessive compulsive.
And vice versa.